Go to Psalms 34, please. 34th Psalm. We have a lot to be thankful for. We should be rejoicing today. We've been on a series for a number of weeks that we're calling The Fear of the Lord. And I believe we're on our 15th part. So if you haven't been with us on the previous parts, it would benefit you to go online and hear and watch the previous ones, because we're building on the previous ones. You just go to faithlife.org and go to the word supply, and everything we've got's there, and no charge, no cost. And we've been looking at what the fear of the Lord is, why should we should care about it, and we're going to see today how it's different from other fear. Look in Psalm 34 and the 7th verse. Psalm 34 and 7, it says, "The angel of the Lord encamps round about who? Them that fear him." And the angel is not just there to watch you while you spiral and go down the drain and say, "Hey, I'm here." No, he's there to do what? To deliver you. To deliver everybody in the earth? No. Does everybody in the earth fear God? No. So, you know, you'll hear people quote pieces of Scripture, but the way they use them and say them, they're saying something that's not even true. This one, for instance: "All things work together for good." You ever heard that? Somebody said, "Well, that's Scripture." No, that's half of Scripture. And people try to use phrases like that to imply that everything that happened is somehow God, and that everything is going to eventually work out for everybody's good. That is not true at all. I said, "That's not true. It's not going to work out good ever for people who reject God. They're not going to come out okay in the end. And everybody that dies, not everybody who dies goes to heaven."
That's right.
To hear some people talk, you might think they do. Because everybody says, "Well, they're in a better place." Are they? Are they? Did they believe God? Did they receive Jesus as their Savior? Then are they in a better place? No. That verse said, "All things work together for good to a specific group of people, to them that love God and are called according to His purpose." Right?
Yes.
Is everybody love God? No. No, there are people who hate God, who have replaced God with other gods and false gods. Is everything working out for their good? No, it's not. It's not. Keep reading in Psalm 34 here. It says, verse 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is what?"
Good.
Oh, He's good.
Yes, He is.
If you don't think so, come try Him for yourself. Huh? Well, I don't know if I believe everything you're saying, Brother Keith, about God. Well, hey, find out for yourself. Don't you like that testimony about one of our own who went to the Bible study, and they said something about those Word and Faith people, and they said, "What right here?" I'm one guilty. But that sounded like they're kind of warming up to the idea. Right? Why? I like that so much because it's easy to talk bad about people you don't know.
Right.
Huh? That you don't know anything about. But what a great witness that if you're around somebody who had some real bent ideas about a certain group, but after being around you for a while, they go, well, that can't all be true, right? Because of him or because of her. I tell you, they're good people. I don't know what these folks' problem is, right? That is God's will for the whole earth, that he have a living witness of you and I in all walks of life, that we're not selfish, we're not pushy, we're not demanding, we're not devilish. We're godly. Hallelujah. We're kind. We're gracious. We're giving. We're truthful. We're honest. We're honorable. And no matter what people claim they believe, you don't find these kind of people on every corner. And when they're around you a while and they see that there is substance to you that is real and that is good and that is right, you are representing your God. And you're representing his church and his body. So I'm not going to say little light, let your bright light shine. And everybody said, oh, amen, okay. Amen. Verse 9 says, oh, fear the Lord. He's still talking about that. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want. To who? To everybody? No. To them that fear him. To them that fear him. So already in just a couple of verses, we've got protection and provision for those who fear the Lord. So if you're a smart person, you're thinking, I got to find out about this fear of the Lord.
Amen.
Right? Make sure I have it. I'm doing it. He said, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So the fear of the Lord can be taught. It can be learned. And so back, 14 messages ago, we all prayed and released faith about this and asked the Lord and said, teach us about the fear of the Lord. And we always have people that weren't with us maybe on that day or on that previous thing. So everybody said out loud, Father God,
teach me
about your fear. The fear of God. The fear of the Lord. I desire to reverence you and fear you as we should. In Jesus' name. Amen. So he's been showing us. He's been answering that prayer. I'm confident of that. And he continues to. Now, back up. We started in the 7th verse. Back up to the 1st verse of this same psalm. And notice something of a contrast. He said, I will bless the Lord. Not just when I feel like it, but when? At all times. His praise shall what?
Continually
be in my mouth. Now, this is what real believers do instead of gripe and complain. Instead of fuss and cuss. Instead of judge and accuse and talk about people. What do? We bless the Lord. All the time. And his praise is continually in my mouth. Will that mean if your mouth is full of his praise, your mouth is not full of a bunch of junk? Right? Or talking bad about people or any of this stuff. Everybody said out loud, did you notice this? The first letter here is I. Said out loud, I will
bless the Lord
at all times. His praise
shall continually
be in my mouth. If the conversation lulls and there's an awkward silence, what do you do?
Praise the Lord.
Is always appropriate. Huh? Bless the Lord. If people say, we all just got a habit of that. Well, it's better than the habit you got. And all the time, continually is habitually.
Yes.
Hmm? There are good habits and there are bad habits. Verse 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The Lord's not opposed to us bragging. You're just not supposed to brag on yourself. Brag on Him.
Amen.
Right? Tell what He has done. The humble will hear thereof and be glad. So if people don't enjoy hearing you brag on the Lord, we know they're not the humble. Verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Notice the word magnify and exalt. Now, this is in direct contrast to magnifying your problem. You're going to be focused on something. Well, our looking not only has the ability to focus, but also to click, 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 magnify. Huh? Look at, focus, magnify. That's what you got on your mind. What are you looking at? Well, if you look at the problem and you talk about the problem, won't be long until you'll be magnifying. Have you ever heard people talking about something bad, and next thing you know, it sounds worse the third time? Well, they magnify it, which is another way of stretching it. Huh? Magnifying. Well, don't magnify the problem. Don't magnify the issue. Magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord and exalt. Exalt means to raise up, lift up. So minimize the problem and push it down.
Yes, sir.
Magnify the Lord and lift Him up.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. This will make you a much happier girl or boy. Huh? Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Magnifying the problem is how you get into depression and hopelessness. Magnifying God, exalting Him, is how you get lifted up.
Amen.
Look at the next verse. I sought the Lord, and He heard me. And He did what?
Delivered
me from what? From what?
All my fears.
Well, verse 7 is talking about the fear of the Lord, fearing Him. And 9 is talking about fearing the Lord. And verse 11 is talking about the fear of the Lord. But here in verse 4, just a couple of verses earlier, He said, the Lord delivered me from all my fears. The fear of the Lord delivers from all other fears. If you have the proper fear of the Lord, you get delivered from the fear of man. The fear of man brings a snare, brings a trap, the scripture said. But the fear of the Lord, hallelujah, brings deliverance. We're going to see that in the scriptures as we continue. You need only one fear. The only fear.
Amen.
The fear that sets you free.
Amen.
From all other fears.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The fear of the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now let me show you why we're saying that. Go with me, if you would, to the 10th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 10. I sought the Lord. I feared the Lord. I trusted in the Lord. Those words are in that same psalm in those first dozen verses. And He delivered me from all my fears, but not His fear. Can you see this, saints?
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, Matthew 10 and 22, Jesus said this. Matthew 10, 22. He said, "You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." That don't sound good. The scripture said the servant is not above the master. If they hated him, they're going to hate you. Now, I've heard people say, well, you know, if people just saw the Lord and really knew how He is, they'd love Him. That's not true. People saw Him as He walked the earth and heard Him and hated Him. And He said, they hated me without a cause. And He said, they didn't just hate me, they hated my Father who sent me. Because if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, our goal is to grow up and be like Jesus. To the point that if you've seen us, you've seen something that should tell you about Him.
That's right?
Yes. What if they hate Him? Then they're not going to like you either. Well, I'm just going to believe for that to change. You can't change all of that. You can't change the scripture here. If they hate Him and you're like Him, they're not going to like you. But that doesn't have to ruin your life. Does everybody have to like me for me to have a good day?
No.
No? Thank the Lord. They don't. Like what Brother Lester Summerall used to say, he said, so he'd kind of bellow it out. He'd say, other people's heads is no place for me to look for my happiness. Yeah. Yeah. Stay out of their heads. Probably a dark, messed up place. he said, verse 23, when they persecute you in this city, just go to the next. You'll not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple's not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It's enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they've called the master of the house Beelzebub, another name for the devil, how much more will they call them of his household? So if they call you ugly names because you represent Jesus, rejoice. You're in good company. They talk bad about him. They talk bad about you. But verse 26, here's the bottom line. Fear them not, therefore. Amen. Yeah, but they're threatening us. They're threatening to run us out. They're threatening us to lock us up. They're threatening to execute us. The Lord said, don't you be afraid of them.
That's right.
His commands are empowering and enabling. When He tells you something to do, don't tell Him you can't do it. Because the power for you to do it was in the Word that He gave you. Fear them not. Everybody say, fear them not. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. This is not just a good idea. This is key to your protection. It's key to your victory. It's key to your mental and emotional and spiritual health. Fear is a killer.
Yes, it is.
The reason, one of the big reasons the Lord tells us not to worry and not to fear is because we were not designed to handle it. Fear and anxiety and worry will break down your systems. It will weaken your immune system. It will affect your brain and your digestion and your bones. It's bad, bad stuff. It's spiritual poison. And don't say, I can't help it. Because the greater one lives in you.
Amen.
Say it out loud, don't be afraid of them. Fear, like faith, is a choice. It's not based on feelings. You may have any number of feelings, but if you will choose to resist the fear, as part of the enemy's work, resist the devil and what? He has no choice. Don't fear them. There's nothing covered that will not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. Look at verse 28. Fear not them. Don't fear them. Is this important?
Yes,
sir. Why would the Lord keep saying this? Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. Why? Because fear is perverted faith. And if you're more afraid of somebody that could hurt you than of your God to keep you, then you, in a twisted way, you got more faith in your enemy to hurt you than you do in your God to keep you. And that's a choice. I said, that's a choice. You think your enemy's bigger than your God. But when you know the truth will make you free from that fear that nobody is bigger than my God. And if I'm in the power of His hand, nobody can pluck me out of His hand. Nobody's bigger than God. Look at it again, verse 28. Don't fear them which can what? Kill the body. Now, we know that's the Lord talking. But if I just told you that, you'd never heard this before, you might say, huh? They're talking about killing me. You're saying, don't be afraid of it? That's what he said. Don't fear those which kill the body. There's a lot of killing going on in the earth today. It's sad. But there will be, I reckon, hundreds of thousands killed, murdered somewhere on the planet in these 24 hours. It's happening all the time. It's evil. It's bad. And the lifespan of human beings is not that long to start with. And all of us will be out of here soon. The Lord doesn't come beforehand. Y'all are getting too quiet now. When you know the truth and you see things right, you lose the fear of physical death. This is one of the biggest things there is in Christianity. The culmination, the pinnacle of the revelation of the gospel, it begins with the Word being made flesh, Jesus being born of Mary without a human father, and then Him living and walking and demonstrating God that's recorded in the Gospels. But then when He went to the cross and He took our place and became sin with our sin and died, He really did die.
Amen.
And His body was in the grave for 3 days. But this is the pinnacle. This is the culmination of it. He was raised from the dead.
Amen.
Woo! On the third day.
Amen.
Huh? And He didn't do it for Himself. He had no sin to pay for. He didn't need to do it to get free personally. He did it for me and for you. And so when He was raised, we were raised. It's just a matter of time. If you really believe that, then you know physically dying is not the worst thing that can happen to you. If you think it is, then you're just still walking totally by sight and not by faith. Now hold your place here and look at Hebrews, or they'll put it up on the screen for us. Hebrews, the second chapter. How many believe the words of Jesus? If he said, don't be afraid of this, then what do you say? I'm not going to be afraid of that. If he said, fear this, then that's what you're going to fear. In Hebrews 2 and 14, it says, for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that's me and you. That's what we got right now. Jesus, he also himself, that's talking about the Master, Jesus, he likewise took part of the same. He took part of flesh and blood. That's the only way he could die. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Did he do it?
Yes.
I said, did he do it?
Yes.
The devil ain't what he used to be.
Yes.
Oh! He lost his keys.
Yes.
He can't find his keys.
Yes.
Have you read Book of Revelation?
Yes.
The Lord said, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore.
Yes.
And I got the keys.
Yes.
I got the keys.
Yes.
The keys to what? Death? Hell?
Yes.
The grave?
Amen.
I got the keys.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I got the keys.
Yes.
Mm-mm. I would have come preach this to myself this morning. Is this good or is this good?
Yes.
That's what the gospel is.
Yes.
Good news. Hallelujah. But in order to do that, he had to die. Jesus had to die. Why? Because it was through death that he overcame death. He destroyed the one that had. H-A-D.
Amen.
Had. The devil is a used to be.
Has been.
Has been. That's right. The devil's a has been. He used to have. He's so proud. He don't like you to say that. That's why we're going to say it again. The devil is a has-been. He's a has-been. Whew. He had the power of death. That was all through the previous generations from Adam, you know, all the way to Jesus. But Jesus, through death, he destroyed the one who had the power of death. That is the devil. Now keep reading. And what does this result in? And deliver them who through what?
Fear of death.
Fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. This is what makes human beings subject to bondage. What? Not just fear in general, a specific fear. This is the root of basically all fears. What do you mean? Somebody said, well, I have a fear of flying. Not really. You got a fear of crashing and dying. It's not the flying. Huh? I got a fear of the water. No, you got a fear of drowning and dying. Can you see this? So whatever it is, it comes back to the big fear and the belief that death is the end. That death is cessation of existence. And thereby, death is irrecoverable loss. And that's why you want to stay away from this phrase, sorry for your loss. This is not a believer phrase. If you're a believer and the person, your friend, your family member that died is a believer, they are not lost. They are still saved. And they are not lost in the sense of don't know where they are. They know where they are. They're happy about where they are. And you have not lost them forever. You will see them very soon. They're not just in your past. They're in your future. True or not? Well, see, then that's how you might shed a tear. You might miss them, wish you could see them in the few years between now and then. But you are not going to sorrow like those who have no hope. You're not going to sorrow this sorrow of the world, this grieve. I have lost something that I can never get back, this lost forever. And I don't refer to my people who are in heaven in the past tense. They didn't just used to be. They are. I said they are. They're very much alive. We either believe this or we don't. We either believe the Bible or we don't. Getting free from the fear of death totally changes your life. Now, it doesn't give you the freedom to treat your life cheaply. Life is precious. And we're only here for a few years. You don't want to be cut short. But at the same time, you shouldn't just be gripped with terror that someone might kill you or something might kill you physically. Are y'all okay or not?
Yes.
That he would deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For he took not on him the nature of angels. He took on him the seed of Abraham. Guess who you are? The seed of Abraham. Hallelujah. Did Jesus allow himself to die? Did he die? And was he raised from the dead?
Yes, sir.
Was he really raised from the dead?
Yes.
This is, if you don't believe he raised from the dead, you're not a Christian.
Right.
No, you're not. Did he really raise from the dead?
Yes.
With so many other religions, you can go to the tomb of their founder.
Right.
You will not find the body of Jesus. He's alive. At the right hand of majesty.
Yes.
On high.
Yes, sir.
Soon to return.
Yes.
To come again.
Yes, sir. Yes, he is.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, the scripture tells us, the good news, the gospel tells us, that because he was raised, those who have faith in him will be raised.
Yes.
Well, they were talking about water baptism. Everybody should be baptized in water in front of their family and friends and anybody who would want to see it. It's a public confession of faith. Does water baptism save you? No, it doesn't save you. But if you're too embarrassed to do it, that's a problem. You got to be willing to let anybody that wants to see know. I'm a believer. I have received Jesus. He is my Lord and my Savior. I'm trusting in him to be saved. But what does water baptism represent? First of all, it's not sprinkling. Sprinkling is not the type. It is immersion. And you go down under the water. You are completely immersed in the element. That is showing that you died. But you don't stay under long. Up you come.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Pour portraying resurrection.
Amen.
Life.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And in the element of water, you are blood washed and water washed and clean from your sins and alive again and alive forever. Oh, hallelujah. Go back to Matthew 10. Matthew 10. Aren't we thankful for the Word of God? Matthew 10 and 28. Matthew 10, 28 says, "Fear not them which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now go to Luke's account of this, Luke chapter 12. Luke 12 and 4. Jesus said, "I say to you, my friends." Tell somebody, say, "Jesus is my friend."
Jesus is my friend.
He said, "Friend, don't be afraid of them that kill the body, and after that, they have no more that they can do. That's all they can do." Now, unbelievers would go, "That's all anybody could do. That's the end." No, it ain't the end. I said, it's not the end. It's not the end. Jesus was raised from the dead. So will I be. So will every believer be.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So if somebody killed my body, they did not end me. They did not rob me of my being or my existence or my joy or my peace. Huh? They just caused me to go see Jesus sooner than I thought I was going to see. And I'll be fine. Huh? This getting free from the fear of death, it opens up life to you. Huh? Instead of trying to hide in a corner somewhere, instead of "I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't try this and I can't try that," because what? Might die. Let me give you a revelation, brother, sister. You are going to die. It's just a matter, right, of a few more days or a few more years. It's just a matter of when. Right? And so this cowering in the corner, trying to make it one more day on earth, that's not the objective. You know, Paul said this. He said, "None of these things move me. And I don't count my life dear to myself that I might finish my course with joy." Hallelujah. And the ministry. He's saying, this is not just about me living X amount of days on the planet. I got a job to do. I got a mission to fulfill. If that costs me my life, so be it. I'll soon be out of here anyway. It is wonderful to get delivered from the fear of death. Huh? What if you die in your sleep? So, what if I died in this? What if I take that trip and I die? And what if I do this and I die? And what if I get this through your little head? You're not going to live on planet Earth for the next 500 years. Or the next 200. How many people still around from the 1700s? How many? How many? Not a one. And in a few years, if the Lord didn't come beforehand, none of us will be here. But we'll be somewhere. I said we'll be somewhere. And believers will be with the Lord. And to depart and be with Christ is far better than being here. If you believe the Bible, and I do. And that makes me free. I'm free. I know I'm a pilot. I've been flying for 30 some years now. And the first jet that I was able to fly on, I didn't know the guy very well, but he was a test pilot. And this little jet, I was so thrilled. He asked me, did I want to come on a trip with him from Tulsa to L.A.? I thought, wow, because I've been flying little propeller airplanes. And he put me in the front and even let me handle the controls a little bit. Man, I was elated. I was just, whew, it's a jet. And we went to this one place, and it was not a busy airport at all. It was kind of isolated. And they came across on the radio and called his name. And they said, how about showing us a maneuver? And I had no idea what they were talking about. And he said, well, I got in trouble last time that I did that. And so there's silence on the radio. And then they came back again. They said, well, there's nobody around. He said, okay. And I was going to do the takeoff. He said, I got the controls. So I said, okay. Turn loose up. We took off. We got about, 200 feet off the ground. And he did this. Right off the side of the runway. Well, in order to turn, you've got to bank. One wing's got to go low.
Right.
The wing couldn't have been 20 feet off the ground. And so then we're just about 500 feet headed toward the buildings. We're below the buildings. And as we come, this is a jet, so it's fast. And as we come speeding toward the buildings, you know what crossed my mind? I'm not afraid. I'm serious. I was so elated because I'm looking at these buildings and the windshield is getting full of building. And I'm not seeing how we're not going to hit the building. But then the thing that comforted me, I just kind of sat back in the chair and I thought, well, I'm not afraid.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God.
I'm not afraid.
Thank you, Lord.
This is victory.
That's it, right there.
Oh, come on, can you see this?
Yeah.
Right at the last minute, he pulled up and went straight up and we just skimmed over the top of those buildings and I never flew with him again. But the thing that stuck out to me, it looked like I'm looking at death. But I'm not afraid.
Hallelujah.
I'm not afraid. Is it possible,
yes,
in the midst of the storm to have peace,
yes,
that passes understanding?
Yes,
you won't have it if you don't fear God. Did y'all hear this? Why was I not afraid of the crash? Because my confidence is in God. He's got me. If my body splatters against the ground over there, my spirit's coming right out and he's got me. I said, he's got me. He's got me. He's got me. I reverence him. I care about what he knows, what he thinks. That sets you free from what man thinks.
Amen.
Look in the proverb, please. Y'all got a little more time?
Yes.
Proverbs 14. And I hadn't thought about that in 30 years. You know, when you don't know, you don't know how dangerous it was. But looking back now, I just shake my head and think, oof. If one little gust of wind had hit us on the side, it'd have been all over. But the Lord's merciful.
Yes.
You know, he's gracious and merciful to little children and foolish people. To a point. Proverbs 14 and 26. 14 and 26. In the fear of the Lord is what?
Strong
confidence. That's why I had confidence. Can you see this? And his children shall have what? A place of refuge. Now, a place of refuge is a safe place in the midst of attack or in the midst of danger. 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death. Remember, it's the fear of death that makes one subject to bondage, snare, trap, bondage, death. But the fear of the Lord, instead of death, it's a fountain of life. And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Listen to the Amplified, verse 26. Verse 26, Amplified. In the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. And his children shall always have a place of refuge. Reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. Listen to the complete Jewish Bible, the CJB. Verse 26, CJB says, in the fear of Adonai is powerful security. Does that sound good? Yes. Powerful security. For his children, there will be a place of refuge. Isn't this in agreement with the angel of the Lord? Yes. Is round about those who fear him,
yes,
to deliver them?
Yes.
Verse 27, the fear of Adonai is a fountain of life, enabling one to avoid deadly traps. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. The one fear that delivers you from all fears, all other fears, is the fear of the Lord, which delivers you from the fear of death. And that delivers you from being subject to bondage. What if I die? You're going to die. You need to be ready to die. You need to be ready to die now. Every second, there's about two people who die somewhere on the planet. Every second. So hundreds of thousands in the next 24 hours. And I assure you, all of them are not old. And you know one of the big things with a bunch of them? As they breathe their last, as they come out of their body, one of the big thoughts in their mind is, I thought I had more time. I thought they were living like they're going to do this indefinitely. That's living in a fantasy. We need to be getting ready to finish up. Even if you're 20 years old, you do not have years to waste. You need to get on track. You need to pray, seek God, find His will and purpose for your life. You need to get where you're supposed to be and stay where you're supposed to be. Right? Find and fulfill and finish.
Amen.
Your course. Isn't that what Paul said? None of these things move me. I don't count my life dear to myself, that I may finish my course with joy.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's not going out with a whimper. That's going out with a shout.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Why? No regrets. No unfinished life and business and ministry. Life is short. It is very, very, very brief. How many years do you have left? Not many. So what do I need to do? I need to quit trying to cling to this life and pretend I'm going to do this forever. I need to get about my Father's business. Is that right? I need, when my eyes come open in the morning, I need to be thinking, Lord, what would you have me do today? This is the day the Lord has made. Lord, what can I do to benefit your people, your church, your gospel, reach the lost, help the hurting? What can I do? What can I do? Because there's something you can do. There is something you can do. To go a whole day and do nothing that helps anybody is a wasted day. I said it's a wasted day. And you don't have an indefinite number of those days. Well, soon it's going to be the last day, your last day. Oh, but when you breathe in your last and you slip out of your body like a hand comes out of a glove, and you'll see your body, whether it's on a bed or wherever it fell, and you'll be there either looking or above, you know, looking down, and probably you'll think, whew, didn't know I looked that old. Or something, and then you'll go, because you'll still be you. You're not going to turn into somebody else. You're going to be you just like you're you now. And then you'll go, whew, I feel good. And your angel will be right there. He'll go, hi. You go, hi. He'll say, you ready to go? Uh-huh. And you will depart. Huh? The term dearly departed? Not dearly gone forever. Not dearly lost. Departed. Just like at the airport. Arrivals. That's births. Departures. People coming. People going. To and fro the earth. But wishful thinking doesn't cut it. Just being a positive individual or trying to be a good moral person will not deliver you from fear. It will not. It takes more than that. It takes a faith rooted and grounded in the existence of your Father, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. It takes a faith established in the truth of the gospel that you have a Redeemer. Yes. And He paid the price for you. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And He took your place and obtained an eternal redemption for you. And He paid it for you. He died for you. He was raised for you. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And sat down at the right hand of majesty for you. Yes. Which means I'm coming up. I'm coming out. I will be resurrected. When the trumpet sounds, hallelujah, the dead in Christ shall rise. And they'll be caught up together with Him in the sky. And so shall they ever be with the Lord. When that becomes real to you, you're not afraid of everything that you hear on the news. Or I might get sick and die. Or I might, what if this and what if that and what if I die and what if I die? You're going to die. Unless the Lord comes beforehand. But if somebody throws a pistol in your face and says, I'm taking you out today. Should you shake?
No.
Should you quake?
No.
You have already heard from the Lord on this.
Amen.
Have you or not?
Yes.
What did He tell you?
Don't be afraid
of them that kill the body. And after that,
they can't do anything else.
I heard a little sass over somewhere. Is that all you can do? Huh? You can't take my salvation away from me. You can't take God away from me. You can't take heaven away from me. You can't take the eternal things that matter away from me. You didn't even permanently take my body away from me, because Jesus is going to raise that up and fix that, and I get it back in a glorified state with no bullet holes. So you ain't done anything. You haven't done anything. And that's why the Bible says, when the Lord looks, the psalmist said, he sees the scheming of the enemy and his influence with men. He that sits in the heavens laughs. Because all they think, you know, the Bible said that had the devil and his bunch known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. See, they thought they had pulled off the biggie of the eons. Right? Man, they were celebrating. We have killed the Son of God. We killed the Son of God. We killed the Son of God. No, you lost your keys. What you did, you played right into the plan of God and lost it all. And the devil lost the power of death. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Whew. Well, these things, we live in a dark place where there's confusion and all kind of reasoning and junk that's always trying to push against you. It would help to remember this and talk about this some more after this morning. Amen. To talk about why faith comes by hearing. And you need not just to hear the message, you need mind renewal.
Amen.
Right? So that you don't think like you used to think. You don't see things like you used to see them. Stand on your feet if you would, please.